from a distance, how do you view what this Raptors season has been about and what it needs to be about down the stretch here?
Well, after that intro, I'm not even sure I have to do the game tonight.
Yeah, you do. Believe me, you do.
I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, does any of this stuff pertain? I get it. It's been a really strange year if you're a Raptor fan. There's this feeling of detachment because your team for home games, which are weird to begin with for any NBA fan base, just on the fact that the environment isn't normal, having done the games in person in Brooklyn when they had no fans, then they had a soft opening with 150 fans, 250 fans, up to 1,000 fans, then 1,750 fans. You know, I've taken selfies at the urinal this year because it's only a public bathroom. I have no other option. You're with the people. This I can cross off my list, selfie urinal. It's weird. And the fact that the team has been in Tampa, it's been road games the entire year for the broadcast crew, road games for the media, road games. It's just very odd. What I make of Toronto is you still have the championship flavor there. When I'm preparing for this game and I write down on my board Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, there's still something there. Players that I think will be a part of this thing moving forward, Gary Trent Jr., potentially, Chris Boucher, maybe Utah Watanabe has shown that there's a spot for him down the road. Kem Birch is going to be a free agent. There's effort that goes into playing for this team and a culture that goes into playing for this team. I don't think players ever tank. It's an organizational decision, and it's a day-to-day decision by a franchise. But when I watched the game the other night, I watched Lakers-Raptors preparing for this one. I saw a damn good NBA team out on the floor.
First of all, you have to do the game contractually, just for the record.
This is true. I just looked at the contract during the break. You're right.
You're paid by the network. And I appreciate your answer for the Raptors, and let's add Malachi Flynn in there as well regarding the future, and then we'll go from there. I am interested, though, given that you, in addition to the Nets, obviously, you call the league. The West is not, I don't think, anything. Had you said to somebody that the Clippers and Lakers would be 4-5 in the West before the season, they'd say you're insane, sir.
No shot.
But here we are. What are your thoughts on as to why the Lakers is sort of a little more understandable, but why have the Clippers been as they have been this year? What is, at least at the moment, what has been missing for this team?
Well, continuity has been an issue. The fact that Kawhi Leonard has missed as many games as he's missed. He's played in 3 of the last 13 games. If you include tonight, Patrick Beverley has missed the last 12. Serge Ibaka, who Raptors fans are certainly familiar with, lower back issue. I don't know if he's ever going to be right. There are concerns that he's not going to be what he was when this season started. And it looked like he was a perfect fit for exactly what they needed. Agile big man, defensive mentality, spread the floor, and something different than what Zubats gave them. With all of that said, they're 43-22, and a week ago, if we had this same conversation, they were ranked number one on a bunch of NBA rankings of 1 through 30 currently in the league. They've lost 3 in a row. They've had a little bit of a dip here and there. I still think they're really dangerous, and I still think they could make their first conference final and maybe even go to their first NBA final. But the way the West is set up, Richard, you just alluded to it, it's going to be wacky in the postseason. And I think in general in the NBA, all of these things that we've come to expect in the NBA, when you have a normal schedule, a normal season, normal numbers to look at, I think it's topsy-turvy this year, and how teams and individuals respond to the postseason, I don't have that answer. I don't think we can use the regular season as the template that we've always used in prior years. Yeah, there are certain teams, you know, they're really good, and they're probably going to be okay, but I can't say it with the same degree of certainty that I would have said it in years past.
The other team in Los Angeles, the Lakers, you mentioned the Raptors played them. The Raptors beat them. There seems to be a lot of parsing and reading in between the lines of LeBron James's comments, both Friday, Friday night and after the Raptors game. And you know, I think it's dangerous to look at LeBron and go Father Time's catching up to him, but I just wonder if maybe, you know, dude's played a lot of basketball. I mean, he's like in the Derek Jeter category because he's always in the playoffs and he's always in the finals, or most of the time he's in the finals. That's a lot of extra basketball.
It is. And I think there is a lot of frustration right now, not just based on the Lakers' record, but based on himself. Things that normally his body would bounce back and do, and he's asking it to do, it can't do. And that's just Father Time. Father Time is undefeated. That's not to say LeBron is not going to be an effective player anymore. That's not to say that LeBron may not be able to just flip the switch again and go on a ridiculous run. We know that he's been superhuman throughout his career. But I do think, based on this year, based on the strange way that you go through your season with very little contact, very little interaction with the outside world, and then just even going on the road. You know, players are limited. We know some players have taken liberties and they've paid for it based on the safety protocols. But it's not the same. It just isn't. So I do think it's been taxing. And all of this has probably come to a head for LeBron on a number of different levels. And this year, where you just assume, oh, LeBron comes back, the Lakers are the favorite, I'm not ready to jump into that category either. I just don't think everything that you've built up in previous years can be applied to this very unique season.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. And we haven't even gotten into sort of the mental taxing of COVID and what these last 2 years have been like. I do want to ask you, the team who you see the most with your most excellent analyst, Sarah Kustak. And so, you know, we haven't seen James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. You would know the stat. I don't. I don't know how many games they played together, but it hasn't been a lot. But when
seven.
You have
seven
two
games.
Of the three. Say that again?
Seven.
Seven. Wow. Amazing. When you have two of the three, though, they're absolutely one of the Eastern Conference contenders. What will happen if they are all back for the playoffs? Do you think, like, are they so good that you push the button and they're automatically in the Eastern Conference final? Or is there a possibility that because they haven't played together, like you indicated, only seven games together, that the continuity becomes a little bit of an issue in the postseason?
Yeah, legitimate question, and people that raise that, I think there is credibility behind that statement because you just don't know. You don't know how it's going to play out with those three guys. What I can tell you from everything that I've gathered, the chemistry part of it, which everybody just assumes is on-court chemistry, also encompasses off-the-court chemistry, relationships, dynamic, who's vocal, who's not, who steps forward when something needs to be said, when something needs to be pointed out. That part of the equation has been actually really good. James Harden has emerged as a leader and as someone that will speak his mind and will share his opinion on what he sees, and the rest of the players are open to it, embracing it. And I think, in a way, Kyrie and KD are happy about it, because I'm not sure either one of those two wanted to be that guy. Now, they'll say their piece and they'll share their opinions as well, but now it's not everybody looking at them all the time. James has shouldered a lot of that, but he hasn't played. And there's no simulating that. So until we see it consistently, it's hard to say. If you're just asking me and my instincts of what I've seen in the small sample size, I think it would be tough to outscore that team when healthy 4 out of 7 times in a series. You're going to have to go out and score 130, 135 points in a playoff game 4 times to do it, because that's how lethal they are offensively. That's how many angles they can take you on an offensive exhibition of what they do. All 3 players are gifted talents, all-time talents. And you put them in an every other day scenario, no more back-to-backs, I think they can win the whole thing. But getting him healthy, Harden that is, and making sure that Durant remains healthy, that has not been an easy snap of the finger. That's been a chore.